好，我们一起来为今天的信息祷告。
Let's pray together for today's message.
亲爱的父神，我们感谢赞美你。
Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you and praise you.
感谢主，你召聚我们众弟兄姐妹来敬拜你，来赞美你。
We thank you for gathering all the brothers and sisters to worship you and praise you.
在这个特别的日子里，我们来纪念我们的救主耶稣基督的降生。
In this special day, we gather to in memory of our Savior Jesus Christ.
他为我们舍命，死在十字架上，用他的宝血洗净我们一切的罪。
He gave his life for us on the cross, so that we can be cleansed.
并且我们得以与父神和好。
And so that we can make peace with the Father.
我主耶稣基督第三天复活。
And he rise again, on the third day.
升上高天，坐在父神的右手边。
He rise all the way into the heaven and sits on the right side of the Father.
并且他赐下圣灵保惠师与我们同在。
And he sent the Holy Spirit to be with us.
使我们可以每天过一个与神同行的生活。
So that we can walk with God every day.
主啊，帮助我们思想以马内利的意义。
Lord, help us to think through the meaning of Emmanuel.
使我们也可以过一个以马内利的人生。
So that we can also live a life of Emmanuel.
愿主保守孩子下面的信息。
Please bless our message today.
与我们同在。
And be with us.
我们的感谢和祷告都是奉我主耶稣基督的圣名。
Our prayer and thanks are in the name of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Amen.
好，我们现在是读经的时间。今天的经文呢，在马太福音的第一章的22和23节。
Today's scripture reading will be covering Matthew chapter 1, verses 22 to 23.
我们一同来读中文，然后大家再跟铁明一同来读英文。
We'll read Chinese first all together, and I'll be reading the English version.
好，马太福音第一章的22、23节，这一切的事成就，是要应验主借先知所说的话，必有童女怀孕生子，人要称他的名为以马内利。以马内利翻出来就是神与我们同在。
All this took place to fulfill what the Lord has spoken by the prophets. Behold, the virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which means God with us.
感谢神。
Praise the Lord.
今天公立学校关门，所以我们在家里敬拜呢更有节日的气氛。
Today the school that we usually gather closed, so but it's actually feel more festival atmosphere when we gather at home.
圣诞节呢，小区里面呢到处都沾沾节的彩，人们也买礼物彼此馈送。
Today is Christmas. In your neighborhood, there's colorful lights everywhere, and people buy a gift and send to each other.
圣诞节的标记呢，变成了圣诞老人驯鹿和装礼物的袜子等等。
The sign of a Christmas becomes Santa Claus or reindeers or socks with gift.
世人在这个节日的欢庆当中啊，似乎已经忘记了圣诞节的真正的意义。
People seem to have forgotten what the Christmas really means in this worldly celebration.
而我们这些蒙恩的圣徒，我们是不能够忘记的。
But us as blessed saints, we cannot forget.
让我们今天一同来思想救主降生的重大意义，就是以马内利，神与我们同在。
Today we'll be thinking about the significance of the Lord's birth, which is Emmanuel, God with us.
今天读的这节经文呢，引自以赛亚书的七章的14节。
We'll be reading the scripture from Isaiah chapter 7, verses 14.
而要了解这一节的预言是在什么样的场景下发生的呢？就让我们一同来翻开以赛亚书的第七章。
And to get a little bit more context on what circumstances this prophet is given, let's read together. And let's open up our Bible to Isaiah chapter 7.
大家有圣经的可以打开自己的圣经，翻到以赛亚书的第七章。
And if you have your Bible, please open it, because it's probably not on the screen. Isaiah chapter 7.
第一节呢，告诉我们这件事情的背景，发生在亚哈斯王年间，亚兰和以色列北国联合来攻打耶路撒冷，即将要发动攻击。
Verses 1 gave us the context of this incident. This happens in the year of King Ahaz. At that time, Aram and the northern Israel united against Jerusalem, and is about to launch an attack.
在此之前，犹大国和亚兰国还有以色列北国已经有过几次交战，每次都伤亡惨重。
Before that, the kingdom Judah and Aram and the northern Israel has already had several battles and suffered heavy casualties.
在这个历代志下的这个二十八章里面有详细的记载，犹大国打仗呢，先是输给了亚兰，被掳去很多百姓。
There is some more detail of the description on the Second Chronicle chapter 28. Judah first lose to Aram, and the many people were taken captive.
后来以色列北国的国王比加一天内杀死了120,000的犹太勇士，还掳走了200,000百姓。
And later, one of the kings in the northern Israel, Pekah, killed 120,000 Jewish warriors and also taken 200,000 people in their captive.
现在这个两国联合大军压境，犹大国有亡国的危险。
Now these two nations united together and the kingdom of Judah is in great danger.
从属世界的眼光来看呢，这个是外交的问题，是军事的问题。
From the worldly view, this might be a diplomatic or military issue.
但从属天的眼光来看，圣经中把答案说得很清楚，是因为亚哈斯行神眼中看为可憎的事情，神要将他们交在仇敌的手中。
But from the heavenly view, the Bible has a clear explanation to this. It is because Ahaz did abominable things in the eyes of God, so God gave him to his enemy.
第二节讲到呢，当这个亚兰与以色列北国联盟的消息啊传到犹大国的时候呢，王和百姓都瑟瑟发抖。
And in the second verse, it mentioned that when the news that Aram and the northern Israel has united against the Judah, when this message arrived, the kings and the people of Judah is shaking.
这里用了一个非常形象的说法，说他们的心像被风吹动的树一样。
Here, there was a description saying that their hearts of the people shake as the trees of the forest shake with the wind.
被风吹动的树有什么特点呢？就是随风摇摆，完全身不由己。
What's the characteristic of a tree that's shaking with the wind? That is, it's just shake with the wind. There's no, it's completely involuntary.
世界上的人的平安呢，它来自于环境，环境波动，他们就惶惶不安。
The peace for the people in the world usually come from the environment. When the circumstances are volatile, then they start to panic.
而属神的人的特点呢，他有一种超越环境的平静安稳。
But the characteristic of a godly people is that they usually have a peace that's beyond the circumstances.
箴言的十八章十节说，耶和华的名是坚固台，一人奔入便得安稳。
In Proverbs 18, verses 10,The name of the Lord is strong tower. The righteous man runs into it and is safe.
弟兄姐妹和朋友们，在这个动荡的世界里面，你有平安吗？
Brothers, sisters, and friends, in this tumbling world, do you have peace?
第三节，神命令以赛亚带着他的儿子施亚雅述出去迎见亚哈斯王。
And in verses 3, chapter 7 of Isaiah,God commanded Isaiah to take his son, Shear Jashub, to encounter King Ahaz.
你们有没有看见过那种画满广告的这种车？
Have you ever seen those cars that's full of different commercials?
有的人他办个小公司，资金不足，要打广告怎么办呢？他就把广告画在他的车上面，开着到处走。
It's usually for a small business when there's not enough capital and you want to do commercials, then they usually just put a commercial on their car.
他们的车子呢，就像是一个移动的广告牌。
And so their car is like a moving billboard.
而先知的孩子呢，他们的名字呢，常常都是带着信息的。
The children of the prophets, their name usually carry a message too. They are like a walking billboard as well.
他们就像是一个行走的广告牌。
They're just like a walking billboard.
所以施亚雅述的意思就是渔民会回归。
So the meaning of the name Shia Yashub is.A remnant shall return.
Remnant.
A remnant shall return.
什么是余民呢？就是余剩之民。
So what is a remnant? Remnant is the remaining people.
比如说110除以100，余数是十。
For example, 110 divided by 100, the remainder is 10.
所以余民意味着一方面呢，他们能够穿越患难，能够存留下来。
So on one hand, remnants means that they will be able to survive through some disasters.
另外一方面呢，这些存留下来的常常是少数。
On the other hand, the remnants is probably just a few.
所以以赛亚给他孩子取这样一个名字呢，就预言了将来以色列民会被掳走，而一小部分属神的子民会归回。
So the name that Isaiah gave it to his child is actually a prophecy that in the future. The people from Israel will be taken captive. And a small part of the people who actually belong to God will return.
这个名字呢，就像福音一样，对于一些人来说是拯救的好消息，对于另外一些人来说是审判的坏消息。
The name is like a gospel. To some people, it is good news of salvation, but for others, it's bad news of judgment.
因此，是福是祸呢，就看这个听众呢，他是否是相信这个信息。
So whether it's a blessing or a curse, it depends fully on whether the audience believe in this message or not.
而真正相信这个信息的人是绝对少数的。
But those who actually believe in this message are few.
这个正符合以赛亚在第六章他所领受的意象。
This is in line with the vision Isaiah received in chapter 6.
以赛亚书第六章的第八到第十节，我给大家读一下。我又听见主的声音说，我可以差遣谁呢？谁肯为我们去呢？我说，我在这里，请差遣我。他说，你去告诉这百姓说，你们听是要听见，却不明白，看是要看见，却不晓得，要使这百姓心门之油，耳朵发沉，眼睛昏迷，恐怕眼睛看见，耳朵听见，心里明白，回转过来，便得医治。
This vision is reported in Isaiah chapter 6 verses 8 to 10. And I heard the voice of the Lord saying, Whom shall I send, and whom will go for us? Then I said, Here I am, send me. And he said, Go and say to this people, Keep on hearing, but do not understand. Keep on seeing, but do not perceive. Make the heart of the people dull, and their eyes heavy, and blind their eyes. Let they see with their eyes, and hear with their ears, and understand with their hearts, and turn and be healed.
神差派以赛亚，但同时清楚地告诉他，绝大多数人是不会相信他的。
God sent Isaiah, but at the same time clearly told him that most of the people would not believe him.
以赛亚知道的最终相信他，而且信靠神的人呢，是绝对少数的愚民。
So he knew clearly that those who actually believe him and be saved by, and is dependent on God is the few remnant.
但这绝对少数的人，无论大环境怎么糟糕，他们靠着神始终是有指望的。
But these few people, however terrible the environment is, they will always have hope and they will always be dependent on God.
以赛亚呢是皇族，他跟皇国王呢其实是很熟的。
Isaiah come from the royal family. He's very familiar with the king.
根据塔木德的记载呢，以赛亚的父亲和乌西亚王的父亲是兄弟。
Based on the report from Talmud. The father of Isaiah is actually brothers of King Uzziah.
那么以赛亚和乌西亚王呢，就是堂兄弟。
That means Isaiah and Uzziah are cousins.
亚哈斯王是乌西亚的孙子，因此按辈分算，以赛亚算是他的叔公。
And the King Ahaz is the grandson of Uzziah, so Isaiah actually is his cousin twice removed.
而以赛亚这个儿子的这个特别的名字、啊、应该也是为王所熟知的。
And the special name that Isaiah gave to his son is probably also familiar, well known to the king as well.
因此当以赛亚带着这个孩子去见亚哈斯王的时候呢，就像是带着一个移动的广告牌在展示清楚的信息，快回转归向神。
So when Isaiah takes this child and meet King Ahaz, it is like a moving billboard saying the clear message,Return to God.
这个信息呢，对于相信的人来说是个安慰，对于不相信神的人来说就是一个警告。
This message is a comfort for those who believe in God, but for those who don't believe, it's a warning.
而亚哈斯王是一个不信的王。
And King Ahaz is the one that's not believing.
圣经给他的评价呢，在这个列王记下16章的第三节说，他效法以色列诸王所行的，又照耶和华从以色列人面前赶出的外邦人。所行可证的是使他的儿子惊火。
The Bible's comments on King Ahaz is recorded in 2 Kings chapter 16 verses 3. But he walked in the way of the kings of Israel, and he even made his son pass through the fire, in accordance with the abomination of the nations whom the Lord had driven out before the sons of Israel.
因此，施亚雅述给他传达的呢，这个就是一个警告的信息。
So the name Shir Yashub was delivering a warning message to him.
而他们去与这个亚哈斯王相遇的这个地点呢，也是暗藏玄机的。
And the places they are meeting with King Ahaz is not just random place as well.
神让以赛亚呢到这个上池的水沟头，在这个漂木地的大路上去迎接亚哈斯。
God wanted Isaiah to greet King Ahaz at the end of the conduit of the upper pool on the highway to the worship's field.
要了解这个地点有什么特别呢？我们必须要对耶路撒冷的这个地理状态有所了解。
To know the special of this place, is we need to have some basic understanding on the geometry of the city of Jerusalem.
耶路撒冷城的这个地势高，它是易守难攻的。
The city of Jerusalem sits on the high ground. It's easy to defend and hard for to attack.
那么敌人一般不容易轻易攻下城池的话呢，他就会围城。
And usually, when the attack is difficult on the city, the enemy typically will surround the city.
而遭遇围城的时候，守城的需要注意什么
？And when the city is surrounded, what are the defender? What is some of the thing that defender need to pay attention to?
一个呢是粮草要充足，第二个是水源要充足。
First, there should be enough food, and second, there should be enough water.
而麻烦的一点是，耶路撒冷城里面并没有泉水。
And this is what's becoming tricky because in the Jerusalem city, there's no fountain.
所以水源必须要从城外引入。
No fountain or spring, so the water source has to be from the external, outside of the city.
后来这个亚哈斯王的儿子啊，西西家王，他修建了西西家水道，将这个基逊河的水呢引到耶路撒冷城里面来。
So later, the son of King Ahaz, King Hezekiah, actually built a Hezekiah's tunnel, and this tunnel channeled the water from the river Gihon to the city of Jerusalem.
因为这个水道呢是地下隧道，所以不容易被敌人切断水源。
And this tunnel is actually underground, so it's a lot tougher to be cut by the enemy.
现在呢，如果你去以色列旅游的话呢，西西家的水道依然是一个著名的景点。
If you go travel Israel nowadays, the King Hezekiah's tunnel is still a famous tourist spot.
但在亚哈斯的时代呢，这个水道还是不存在的。
But this tunnel doesn't exist in the years of King Ahaz.
耶路撒冷的水源主要由上池经过水管。引到这个城中来。
The water of the Jerusalem is mainly coming from the upper pool through a pipe or a conduit to the city.
这个漂木地呢是一个洗羊毛的地方。
And the washer's field is a place to wash the wool.
因此从上池到漂木地呢一定是有水管来引流的。
So that means from the upper pool to the washer's field, there must be some pipe or conduit to channel the water.
亚哈斯去查看这个水管呢，其实是战前准备，确保水源供给不会出问题。
So when King Ahaz go check this the tunnel, this is a preparation for war to make sure that the water supply is going to be okay.
事实上啥用都没有。
But actually, this effort doesn't mean much.
因为这个水管呢是在城外的。
Because this tunnel is outside of the city.
后来西西家年间，亚述王西拿基利的将军拉伯沙基带兵上来围困耶路撒冷的时候。口出狂言，把西西家的使者大大羞辱一番。
So later in the years of the Hezekiah, one of the generals of the king of Assyria, his name is very strange name, Rabshake. Yeah. So when he took the army and go surround the Jerusalem, he insulted and humiliated the Hezekiah's messengers.
王下十八章二十七节记录了这个拉伯沙基说的话。拉伯沙基说：“我主差遣我来，岂是单对你和你的主说这些话吗？不也是对这些坐在城上要与你们一同吃自己粪、喝自己尿的人说吗
？”Yeah, the word of Rabshake is reported in 2 Kings chapter 18, verses 27. Has my master sent me only to your master and to you to speak these words?Has he not also sent me to the man who sits on the wall, doomed to eat their own dung and drink their own urine with you?
人在什么样的情况下会喝自己尿呢？大概是到渴到了极点的情况下。
When would people be drinking their own urine? Probably when they are extremely thirsty.
那么大家猜一猜他说这个话的地点在哪里
？So guess where this conversation take place?
正是在亚哈斯视察的这个地点，上池的水沟旁，在漂布地的大路上。
It's right on the place where King Ahaz was checking by the conduit of the upper pool, which is the road of the washer's field.
这个是记载在列王记下十八章的十七节。
This is recorded in 2 Kings chapter 18, verses 17.
拉伯沙基站在这里口出狂言，那是威胁的意味满满。
Rabshake's word is full of arrogance and full of threatening.
也就一句话的事情，分分钟可以切断耶路撒冷的水源。
He basically means that it's so easy to cut off the water supply to Jerusalem City.
这件事情呢，让西西家深受刺激，因此他在逃过这一难之后，就新修了西西家水道。
And this incident deeply irritated Hezekiah. So after he survived through this, he started the project of Hezekiah's tunnel.
所以我们回头看这个亚哈斯的战前准备，其实是啥用都没有。
So when we look back and see all the war preparation that King Ahaz was doing, it's actually pretty meaningless.
这就是神要告诉我们的，你把你的信心放在你自己以为很可靠的东西上面的时候，你需要知道它其实并不可靠。
And this is the message God is telling us. When you put your faith on something that you think is reliable, you need to know that they are not reliable at all.
从属地的眼光来看，有人要来打你了，你搞外交，你搞军备，搞水利，有没有问题？非常合理，对不对？
From the worldly view, if someone is going to attack you, all of your diplomatic operations, military operations, or making sure your water supply is okay, is totally reasonable.
但是从属天的眼光看到的才是真正的事实。
But the true problem can only be reviewed through the heavenly perspective.
犹大国的问题呢，不是外交搞不好，军事实力不够强大，而是他们得罪了神，离弃了神。
The kingdom of Judah's problem is neither they're bad at diplomatics nor their military power is too weak. It's because they offended God and abandoned God.
他们没有悔改归向神以前，他再多的外交操作、军事操作都是徒然的。
So before their true repentance, any diplomatic or military operations will be in vain.
以赛亚要去传达的正是这样的信息。
And this is exactly the message Isaiah is trying to send.
我帮助过一些生活一团糟的人，他们也很努力的挣扎，想要摆脱他的困境。
I help with some people whose life is a total mess, and they also have similar struggles, and they want to try to get out of them.
但我总是对他们说，首先你要归向神。
But I always tell them that first you need to start repent to God.
你没有跟神和好，那个才是你的最根源的问题。
The root problem of all of your issues is that you haven't made peace with God.
第四节，以赛亚说：“你要谨慎安静。”
In verse 4, Isaiah says, be careful, keep calm, and don't be afraid.
箴言的第一章32-33节，我给大家读一下：愚昧人被盗，必杀己身；愚顽人安逸，必害己命。唯有听从我的，必安然居住，得享安静，不怕灾祸。
In Proverbs 1, verses 32-33, for the simple are killed by their turning away.And the complacency of fools destroyed them. But whoever listens to me will dwell secure and will be at ease without dread of disaster.
安静是不受环境的惊吓，这种品质只有信靠神的人才有。
Keep calm means not be frightened by the circumstances. This quality only happens with people that's believing God.
而谨慎是小心行事，免得得罪神。
And be careful means to be careful not to offend God.
因为人在慌乱之下，如果不能够保持安静的话，他更容易有错乱的行为。
Because in a chaos, if people cannot keep calm, they are more prone to disorder behavior.
谨慎更是属神的人的品质。
And careful is also a quality of godly people.
亚哈斯这两样都没有。
And King Ahaz doesn't have either.
历代志下的28-22节说。这亚哈斯在极难的时候越发得罪耶和华。
In 2 Chronicles chapter 28 verses 22, in the time of his distress, he became yet more faithless to the Lord, the same King Ahaz.
接着以赛亚说，不要因亚兰王利逊和利玛利的儿子这两个冒烟的火把头所发的烈怒害怕。
And back in chapter 7 of Isaiah, then Isaiah said that,Do not lose heart because of those two smoldering stubs of firewood, because of the fierce anger of rings and Aram and the son of Remaliah.
他提到比加的时候呢，并不提名字，而说是利玛利的儿子。
When he mentioned King Pekah, he didn't mention his name directly, but instead says the son of Remaliah.
这是十分的轻看他。
This is actually very much looking down upon him.
而冒烟的火把头其实就是熄灭的火把头，看着烟挺大，其实没火，也很快烫不了人。
And smoldering stub of firewood is actually extinguished firewood. There's a lot of smoke, but there's actually no fire. And there's also not going to be heat very soon.
也就是说神告诉犹大人啊，亚兰和以色列北国的联盟，他们也就看着凶，没有多少能力了，不用怕了。
This message actually means that God is telling the Judah that the allies of Aram and the northern Israel seems to be very strong and scary, but they actually don't have that much actual power. There's no need to be fearful.
你看见了吗？你看一个问题的大或者是小，完全在于你看的角度。
So you see that, whether you see a problem as a big one or a small one, it totally depends on the angle you're examining it.
你站在自我中心的立场上，你看什么问题都大，因为难倒你是太容易了。
When you stand on the self-centered perspective, any problem looks like a big problem to you because it's so easy to stump you.
站在以神为靠山的视角上看，什么问题都小，因为没有任何问题能够难倒神。
But if you stand on the perspective that's dependent on God, every problem looks small because nothing can stump God.
亚兰和以色列北国的千军万马，在神眼中不过是两个冒烟的火把头而已。
All these armies of Aram and northern Israel are just two smoldering stubs of firewood.
因此，神在我们的心中越大呢，问题就在我们心中越小。
So for that reason, the bigger God is in our heart, the smaller the problem is in our heart.
基督徒的平安呢，正是来自于此。
This is where Christian's peace comes from.
反之呢，如果神在我们心中越小呢，我们的问题就越多越大。
And on the contrary, the smaller God is in our heart, then the problem will become bigger.
接下来呢，以赛亚对亚哈斯说，他们想要同谋害你，要立他比勒的儿子为王。
And following that, Isaiah talked to King Ahaz that they wanna hurt you and have the son of Tabeel as the king.
所以主耶和华如此说，这所谋的必立不住，也不得成就。
The Lord, the God, has said that this will not take place.
那么这有什么因果关系呢？
How does that relate?
还记得这个撒母耳记下的第七章，神跟大卫所立的约吗
？Do you still remember in 2 Samuel chapter 7, God's covenant with David?
神应许大卫，他的后裔要做王直到永远，这个是必定实现的。
God has promised David that his offspring will be king forever. This will be fulfilled.
耶利米书的33:19-22，我给大家读一下。耶和华的话临到耶利米说：“耶和华如此说，你们若能废弃我所立白日黑夜的约，使白日黑夜不按时轮转，就能废弃我与我仆人大卫所立的约，使他没有儿子在他的宝座上为王，并能废弃我与侍奉我的祭司利未人所立的约。天上的万象不能数算，海边的尘沙也不能斗量，我必照样使我仆人大卫的后裔和侍奉我的利未人多起来。
This is in Jeremiah chapter 33, verses 19 to 22. The word of the Lord came to Jeremiah. Thus says the Lord, if you can break my covenant with the day and my covenant with the night, so that day and night were come at their appointed time, then also my covenant with David, my servant, may be broken, so that he shall not have a son to reign on his throne, and my covenant with the Levitic priests, my ministers,As the host of heaven cannot be numbered, and the sand of the sea cannot be measured, so I will multiply the offspring of David, my servant, and the Levitic priests who minister to me.
因此，即便亚兰和以色列北国有强大的军力，神的旨意仍然胜过他们的计划。
So even though the Aram and the northern Israel's are military have a strong military power, God's will still trump their plan.
第八节，以赛亚预言65年内。以法莲必然破坏，不再成为国民。
And verses 8, Isaiah prophesied that within 65 years, Ephraim will be too shattered to be a people.
这个对话呢，发生的时间点呢，在公元前735年，而65年后是公元前670年。
This conversation took place in 735 BC, but 65 years later is actually 670 BC.
而真正的历史发展在公元前732年，大马士革被这个亚述军队攻占，亚兰被灭，国王利逊被处死。
In history, in 732 BC, which is only 3 years after this conversation, Damascus was taken by the army of Assyria, and Aram is destroyed, and the king Rezin is executed.
公元前722年，以色列北国被亚述所灭。当时的这个亚述国王是萨尔贡二世，就是著名的西拿基利的父亲。
And in 722 BC, the northern Israel is destroyed by Assyria as well. And at that time, the king of Assyria was Sargon II, which is the father of the famous Sennacherib.
Sennacherib.
Okay, Sennacherib.
离这对话的时间才过去13年。
And this is only 13 years after the conversation.
难道是圣经的预言不准确吗？
Is this because the prophecy of the Bible is not accurate?
其实不然。
It's not.
以色列北国被灭之后啊，亚述先后多次从以色列迁移走百姓。
After northern Israel is destroyed, Assyria has removed people from Israel several times.
以斯拉记第四章的第二节给出一个信息。撒玛利亚人说他们是亚述王以撒哈顿，也就是西拿基利的儿子，将他们从外地迁移过来的。
So in Israel chapter 4 verses 2, there is a message given that the Samaritans were saying that they are so they are migrated from the outside to these places by the son of Sennacherib, which is the king of Assyria, Esarhaddon.
以赛亚预言的这个六十五年内啊，就是直到公元前670年，那个是正好是在以撒哈顿的统治年间了。
And the 65 years in Isaiah's prophets, which is in around 670 BC, that is actually in the year of when Esarhaddon was ruling.
因此以色列北国彻底的人口流失应该是在以撒哈顿治下的那次人口大清吧。
Therefore, the complete population loss of the northern kingdom of Israel should be on the migration that occurs under the rule of Esarhaddon.
神的话语呢是真实可靠的。
And God's word is true and reliable.
第九节以赛亚告诉亚哈斯说你们若是不信定然不得立稳。
And in verses 9, Isaiah told Ahaz that if you do not stand firm in your face, you will not stand at all.
因为他如果不信的话呢，他就会从错误的方向去寻求解决方案，就像头痛医脚一样，是肯定是无法解决真正的问题。
Because without faith, you will be seeking solution from the wrong directions. It's like when you have a headache, but you treat the foot. It's not going to be solving the actual problem.
这个时候呢，神让亚哈斯可以去求一个兆头，或显在高处，或显在深处。
And this time, God asked, permit Ahaz to ask for a omen, whether in the deepest depths or in the highest heights.
就是说，神让亚哈斯可以大胆的求一个，或者在天上，或者在地下的一个明显的神迹。
So God is actually asking King Ahaz to ask boldly for a very clear and certain miracle, either on the sky or on the earth.
新约中法利赛人来找耶稣的时候呢，让他行个神迹给他们看，就是要这样的显在天上的神迹。
In the New Testament, when the Pharisees came to Jesus and asked him to do a miracle, they are asking for miracles like this.
这个兆头呢，就是一个标记。
An omen is a signal, is a mark.
就是说，这个标记呢和这件事情呢是绑定在一起的。
And a mark bound together a certain thing.
你看到的这个标记呢，就表明这件事情是真的。
When you see the mark, it means the thing is real.
比如说我要买房子，对方可能会怀疑我的诚意，那我就先交上一笔定金，这个定金就表明我的诚意。
For example, if I want to buy a house, the other counterparty might doubt my sincerity, then I will just make a deposit. This deposit is a mark of my sincerity.
神给的标记呢，就是用来印证他的预言。
And the mark that from God is used to confirm his prophecy.
这个标记呢有两种，一种呢是发生在事情之前，你看到这个标记呢，你就知道这个事情肯定会发生。
There's two different kinds of mark. One happens beforehand. When you see the mark, you know the thing is going to happen.
另外一种是发生在事情之后，你看到这个标记，就想起来当年那个预言是真的。
The other type happened afterwards. When you see the mark, you remember that the prophecy you heard back then was actually real.
比如说这个撒母耳记上的第二章，先知预言以利家不能再担任祭司，而这件事情的标记呢，就是以利的两个儿子会同一天死掉。
And for example, in 1 Samuel chapter 2, there is a prophecy about removal of the priesthood of the house of Eli. And the mark of this thing is that the two sons of Eli will die at the same day.
这个是第一种，这种是先看见再相信。
This is the same type of the mark. This is happening beforehand. You see the mark first and then you believe.
再比如出埃及记第三章的十二节，神告诉摩西说，你将百姓从埃及领出来之后，你们必在这山上侍奉我，这就是我打发你去的凭据。
Another example is in Exodus chapter 3 verses 12, when God told Moses that I will be with you and this will be the sign to you that is I who have sent you. When you have brought the people out of Egypt, you will worship God on the mountain.
这是第二种，那些相信摩西跟着摩西出埃及的人就会看到这个标记。
This is the second type of the sign. Those who actually believe in Moses and follow Moses out of Egypt will be able to see the sign.
这种是先相信再看见。
This is the second type. You see, you believe first and then you see it.
那些不相信摩西不跟他出埃及的人根本没有机会看到这个标记。
Those who doesn't believe or follow Moses have no chance of even seeing this sign.
神让亚哈斯求一个明显的神迹，就是给他一个看第一种标记的机会。
When God asked King Ahaz to ask for a clear miracle, this is giving him an opportunity to see the first kind of the sign.
但他拒绝了，他说我不试探神。
But he declined and said, I will not put the Lord to the test.
他的虚伪可恨呢，就在于这里。你不信就说你不信，干嘛用一个这么漂亮的理由呢？
And this is his hypocrisy. If you don't believe it, just say you don't believe it. Why use the pretty reasons like that?
以赛亚说，大卫家，你们当听，你们使人厌烦岂算小事，还要使我的神厌烦吗？
Then Isaiah said, Hear now your house of David. Is it not enough to try the patience of humans? Will you try the patience of my God also?
意思是说，你们刚硬到这个地步啊，让人不能忍受你都算了，你们还要让神都不能忍受你。
This is saying that your heart has been hardened so much that even human cannot tolerate. Are you going to put God to test?
以赛亚接着说，以赛亚书的第七章十四到十六节，以赛亚说，因此主自己要给你们一个兆头，必有童女怀孕生子，给他起名叫以马内利，到他小的气轭折上的时候，他必吃奶油与蜂蜜，因为在这孩子还不晓得气轭折上之先，你所憎恶的那恶王之地必至见气。
And Isaiah continues in verses 14 to 16,Therefore, the Lord himself will give you a sign. Behold, the virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and shall call his name Emmanuel. He shall eat curds and honey when he knows how to refuse the evil and choose the good. For before the boy knows how to refuse the evil and choose the good, the land whose two kings you dread will be deserted.
在以赛亚预言的这个时候呢，这个孩子还没有出生。
At the time of the prophecy, the child hasn't been born yet.
因此这个标记呢是先相信后看见的标记。
So this is a type of a sign where you see it and then, where you believe first and then see it.
那么这个事情会发生在什么时候呢？在它会在不久的将来。
But when is this thing going to happen? It's in the near future.
因为这个孩子呢还不晓得气轭折上，也就是说这个孩子还不到四五岁的时候，亚兰和以色列北国都要覆灭。
Because the prophets clearly stated that before the boy knows enough to reject the wrong and choose the right, that is roughly when the boy is around 4 or 5 years old, Aram and the northern Israels will be deserted.
以公元前722年以色列北国灭亡那年为参照的话呢，这个孩子应该在公元前727年左右出生。
And we know that northern Israel is destroyed at 722 BC.If you anchor at this point, you can kind of tell that the boy is probably will be born around 727 BC.
这个小孩呢，他晓得气轭折上的时候呢，也就是说他四五岁的时候，他必要吃奶油和蜂蜜。
Another part of the prophet was saying that when the child knows how to refuse the evil and choose the good, which is around 4 or 5 years old, he will be eating curds and honey.
奶油呢，就是高级的奶产品。
Curds is high quality dairy product.
有奶和蜂蜜吃，第一说明很富足，第二说明很和平。
if he can eat the curd and honey, that means first, he's probably from a rich family. Second, it's probably in a peaceful time.
以色列人刚出埃及的时候呢，他们即将前往的这个应许之地啊，被称为牛奶与蜜之地。
When the Israelites just came out of Egypt, the land of promise is also called the land of milk and honey.
因此呢，享受这地的奶与蜜啊，正是蒙福与活在神的恩典中的标记。
So enjoying the milk and honey of this land is a sign of being blessed and living in the grace of God.
也就是说，这个孩子的童年啊，他是平安的，犹大国并没有被灭过。
So the childhood of this child is peaceful. At that time, the Judah hasn't been destroyed yet.
那也就意味着眼前的亚兰和以色列北国攻打耶路撒冷肯定是成功不了。
Which also means the immediate danger, which is the military alliance of Aram and northern Israel, they will not be successful in their attack to Jerusalem.
试想一下，若干年后呢，亚哈斯或者这一天的这个亲历者，他们有一天在街上遇到一个小男孩，名字叫以马内利。
So imagine this. Several years later, King Ahaz or any other person who experienced this day, and they met this random boy on the street, and the name of this boy is Emmanuel.
要知道呢，这个名字啊，和以赛亚的孩子的名字一样，在旧约时代呢，是个非常非主流的名字，没有多少人会叫这种名字。
You need to know that the name Emmanuel is a very non-mainstream name. It's like the name of the child of Isaiah. It's a very weird name.
所以要知道呢，这个名字呢和以赛亚的孩子的名字一样，说错了。所以那个时候呢，他们就会想起来呢，当年以赛亚所预言的都是事实。
And when they see this name, they will remember that all the prophets that Isaiah said years ago were actually true.
神确实是与我们同在，我们才能够平安的度过那么凶险的处境。
God was actually with us, and that's the reason why we can survive through that danger.
亚哈斯他们的惊慌是因为他们看不到未来。
The panic of King Ahaz is because they don't see the future.
但是神提前告诉他们一个平安的未来，如果他们相信的话，他们立刻就平安了。
And God is telling them that the future will be peaceful, and if they believe it, they will immediately have the peace.
他们还是不平安，是因为他们不相信。
But they didn't have the peace after all because they don't believe in this message.
那就活该他们不平安。
And they deserved it.
有时候呢，我们处在一个很艰难的困境当中的时候，我们会感觉到绝望，没有出路，而非常的消沉。
We would also happen to be in the very tough circumstances when we feel hopeless and very depressed.
那是我们的视野呢被局限在当前了。
We were limited by the view of our perspective. We were limited by the time the current time.
所以能够帮助我们鼓起勇气面对的，就是将我们的视线往后移一段时间。
So what can help us and encourage us is to move our view in the future, to the future.
一年、五年或者十年之后，你当前的困境将不复存在。
After a year, 5 years, or 10 years, the current difficulties is no longer going to be there.
而视线往后移100年，你在哪里？
And if you move 100 years, where will you be?
你的希望断绝了吗？
Is your hope cut off?
对于我们基督徒来说，不是的，我们的希望是永远不会断绝的。
To us Christians, no, our hope will never be cut off.
所以，从现在开始往后算100年后，我将与耶稣基督永远同在。
From now and counted 100 years later, I will be with Jesus Christ.
享受他国度的美好。
And will be enjoying His kingdom.
所以有这样的超越时间的视野的时候呢，你就可以很平静的看这个世界上的风起云涌。
And with such a vision beyond time, you can calmly watch the turbulence in this world.
但是17节，以赛亚突然开始预言亚述国对犹大国的可怕的攻击。
But in verse 17, Isaiah suddenly began to prophesy, Assyria's terrible attack on Judah.
这个就有点让人蒙圈了，是吧？到底他是来安慰他们呢，还是来警告他们呢？
And this becomes a bit confusing. Or is he here to comfort them or to warn them?
事实上，两者都是。
They actually both.
先知的视角呢是超越时间的。
The prophet's perspective is beyond time.
我们如果没有从历史的大视角来看的话呢，就会一头雾水。
If we don't look at from the perspective of history, we will be confused as well.
那么我给大家讲一讲后面发生了什么事情，大家就全部都明白了。
I'll tell you what happened later, and then you understand.
这些呢都记载在呢历代志下的28章和列王记下的16章。
These are all recorded in Second Chronicles chapter 28, verses chapter 28 and Second Kings chapter 16.
之后呢，亚哈斯他把他圣殿里和王宫里所有的金银财宝 都送给了亚述王提格拉皮列色三世。
So later, King Ahaz had sent all this treasure to the king of Assyria, Tiglath-Pileser III.
请求他来攻击这个亚兰和以色列北国。
He sent those treasure to back him to attack the Aram and the northern Israel.
所以亚述王呢，很快呢就攻占了大马色，杀掉了利逊。
And the king of Assyria immediately attacked the Damascus and killed Rezin.
而亚哈斯去大马色去迎接这个亚述王的时候呢，他看见亚兰人拜偶像的祭坛。
And when King Ahaz go to greet and meet the king of Assyria in Damascus, he saw the altar of the Syrian idolatry.
他觉得这个坛很漂亮，就画了图纸，在耶路撒冷也仿制了，并且开始祭拜大马色人敬拜的假神。
They found the altar very pretty, so he draw them on the picture and then make a copy in Jerusalem and started to worship the false god of Damascus.
没想到呢，亚述消灭了犹大国的敌人之后，也一样开始攻打犹大国。
What he didn't thought of is after Assyria destroyed the Judah's enemy, they turned to Judah as well.
而亚哈斯在急难中病急乱投医，更加的敬拜大马色人的假神，更加的得罪耶和华。
And Ahaz, in his distress, started to seek all kinds of help and worship the false god of Damascus even more, and offended God even more.
历代志下的二十八章二十三节是这样说的：他祭祀攻击他的大马色之神，说：因为亚兰王的神帮助他们，我也献祭与他，他好帮助我。但那些神使他和以色列众人败亡了。
In Second Chronicles 28, verses 23.For he sacrificed to the god of Damascus and had defeated him and said, Because the gods of the kings of Syria helped them, I will sacrifice to them and they may help me. But they were the ruin of him and all Israel.
这些大马色的假神救不了大马色，怎能救得了他呢？
Those gods of Damascus can't even save Damascus. How can they save him?
就像那些敬拜释迦牟尼的人，释迦牟尼他救不了他自己，他又怎么能够 救那些敬拜他的人？
Like those people who worship Shakyamuni. Shakyamuni cannot even save himself. How can he save the others?
所以罪人的理性呢，实在是被罪玷污，无法正常的逻辑思维。
The rationality of the sinners is indeed contaminated by the sin. They can't think logically.
看到了这些呢，我们就理解以赛亚的预言。
And when you see all of this, you will understand the prophecy of Isaiah.
亚哈斯对以赛亚的预言呢，是不屑一顾的。
Ahaz is very dismissive of Isaiah's prophecy.
他相信他自己的办法就是依靠亚述国。
He trusts his own method, which is to rely on the kingdom of Assyria.
但是先知提前看到，并且提前告诉他，他所依靠的亚述呢，最终要成为他真正的威胁。
But the prophet already knows and is warning them that the Assyria he's dependent on is going to be his eventually become his real danger.
这也是圣经反复让我们看到的，你不相信先知的预言的话，是会有严重的后果的。
And the Bible repeatedly telling us that if you don't believe in the prophets, there will be severe consequences.
一个不倚靠神的人，神会用惨痛的事实让他发现呢，他所倚靠的全部都是靠不住的。
God will use a painful reality to make him discover, and what he relies on is actually all unreliable.
那么讲了这么多，跟耶稣基督有什么关系呢？
So what's all this related to Jesus Christ?
我们基督徒说啊，这里的童女怀孕生子呢，是指着玛利亚生耶稣所说的。
We Christians always saying that the virgin birth here in this prophecy is referring to Maria gave birth to Jesus.
犹太教徒说不对，你们乱解经文。童女那个词应该要解释为年轻女子。
But the Jews would say that you misinterpreted the scripture. The word virgin should be translated as a young woman.
那个词呢，确实是可以翻译为童女，也可以翻译为年轻女子。
It is true that the word can be translated to virgin or young woman.
从字面意义来看呢，确实只是看到了那个时代的一个年轻女子生了一个孩子。
From a literal perspective, indeed, it is that time you can only see that at that time a young woman gave birth to a child.
基督徒的解法呢，仿佛是给旧约赋予了新的意思。
And it appears that the Christian's interpretation is seeming to give new meaning to the Old Testament.
我们讲啊，解经的原则呢，是将圣经中原来有的意思读出来，不是将原来没有的意思读进去。
We've been seeing that the principle of interpreting the Bible is to get the original meaning out of the Bible, not to put something that's not in the Bible back there.
基督徒是不能够将自己的意思加到圣经里面去的。
And Christians are not supposed to add their own interpretation to the Bible.
但是有一个例外，就是使徒。
But there is one exception, that is the apostles.
我们不可以的，他们可以。
They can do what we cannot do.
因为他们被圣灵启示，看到隐藏在圣经文字中的深层次的意思的时候，他们就将它记载在新约圣经当中，
because,
表明这个是神的意思。
Because they were inspired by the Holy Spirit, and they are able to see through the literal perspective of the Bible and see the meaning in the deeper aspect and record it in the Bible to illustrate that this is God's will.
因此，我们将这个称为使徒的主观性。
And we call this apostolic subjectivity.
这个真的是出于圣灵的。
This has come from the Spirit.
因此，马太福音的一章二十二、二十三节就是对以赛亚书的七章十四节的最终极、最权威的解读。
And for that reason, Matthew chapter 1 verses 22 to 23 is the most authoritative interpretation of Isaiah chapter 7 verses 14.
这个以马内利的预言就是最终指向耶稣基督的。
The prophecy of Emmanuel is eventually pointing to Jesus Christ.
但是同时在以赛亚的时代也的确有个年轻的女子生下了一个取名叫以马内利的孩子。
But at the same time, in the time of Isaiah, there is indeed a young woman giving birth to a child whose name is Emmanuel.
这个呢是预言的双重应验。
This is the double fulfillment of the prophecy.
预言的双重应验呢类似于旧约中的预表。
The double fulfillment of the prophecy is similar to the type in the Old Testament.
预表呢就是用一个东西来代表另外一个东西。
Type is used to use one thing to represent another.
比如说用飞机模型来代表飞机。
Like, for example, use the plane model to represent the plane.
那么在这个例子中飞机模型就是预表，飞机就是实物。
In this example, the plane model is the type, and the plane is the actual thing, the real thing.
旧约中有很多预表。
There's a lot of different type in the Old Testament.
比如说亚当是预表基督的。
For example, Adam is a type of Christ.
逾越节是预表基督的。
Passover was also a type of Christ, and etc.
那么这个预表和实物之间呢，它有几点关系。
There's a several relationship between the type and the real thing.
第一呢，预表在先，实物在后，因为有了实物就不再需要预表了。
First of all, usually the type happens first and then comes the real thing, because if there is a real thing, there's no need to have a type.
第二呢，他们之间是有相似性的，所以呢，看预表呢，能够帮助我们认识实物的一些方面。
Second, they must have something similar, so seeing the type helps you to understand certain aspects of the real thing.
第三呢，这个实物呢，是超越这个预表的。
And the third thing is the real thing is more superior than the type.
因此呢，我们理解这个预言的第一重应验，并比较我们现今的处境呢，我们就可以进一步明白这个预言的第二重应验，也就是道成肉身对我们今天的意义。
So if we understand the first fulfillment of prophecy and compare to our current circumstances, we will understand further the meaning of the second fulfillment, which is the incarnation. What does the incarnation mean to us today?
世界上的人呢，多数呢都和这个亚哈斯王一样，是内心刚硬，不相信神，对先知的话麻木的人。
Most of the people in the world are like King Ahaz. They are hardened in heart. They don't believe in God, and they are numb to prophet's word.
他们漠视神的应许，轻看神的礼物。
They disregarded God's promise and despised God's gift.
因为他们已经有自己可以夸口、可以倚靠的东西。
For they already have something they can boast of and trust in.
有的人说我有的就是钱。
Some people will say I have money.
有的人说我有勇力。
Some people will say I have the courage and the power.
有的人说我有智慧。
Some may say I have wisdom.
他们信奉呢要靠自己。
They all believe in themselves.
他们相信呢他们有能力解决他们遇到的问题。
And they believe they are capable of solving all the problems they will encounter.
但是真的吗？你真的有能力能够解决所有的问题吗
？But do they really have the capacity to solve all the problem?
其实不能的。
Of course not.
死亡提醒每一个人，你最少有一个你无法解决的问题。
Death is a reminder to everybody that you at least have one problem that you can't solve.
衰老呢，在每天提醒着我们，我们是在走在一条走向死亡的路上。
And aging is reminding us every day that we are on this inevitable road to death.
女明星呢，倾尽全力呢，要美容，要留住她们的美貌，其实都是枉然的。
Celebrities do their best to maintain their beauty, yet this is all in vain.
希伯来书九章二十七节说：“按着定命，人人都有一死，死后且有审判。”
In Hebrews chapter 9, verses 27, and just as it is appointed for man to die once, and after that comes judgment.
死亡本身呢，还不是终极的问题，它不过是提醒我们，我们有搞不定的问题。
Death itself is not the ultimate question. It's just merely a reminder that we have problems that we can't solve.
终极问题是，作为罪人，我们要怎么面对公义的上帝？我们怎么才能够逃脱地狱的结局？
The ultimate question is, as sinner, how are we going to be facing the justice God? How to escape the ending in hell?
亚哈斯王以为他们的问题呢是亚兰和以色列北国。
King Ahaz thought their problem is the Aram and the northern Israel.
其实他的真正问题是跟神的关系。
But his real problem is his relationship with God.
如果这一点没有解决呢，他就算躲过亚兰还有亚述，他就算躲过亚述还有巴比伦。
If this one is not solved, even if he can escape from Aram, there's still Assyria. And even if he can escape from Assyria, there's Babylon coming after that.
人都像亚哈斯王一样，看到摆在面前的问题，而没有看到那个真正的问题。
People are like in a husk. They all see the problem on the surface, but they don't see the real question, the problem behind it.
人类的终极问题是人类堕落了，失去了神的同在，失去了天国的福分。
The ultimate problem of mankind is that mankind has fallen, lost the presence of God, and lost the blessing of the kingdom of heaven.
每次朋友圈里面看到有朋友，哪怕他自己是个无神论者，他在亲人去世的时候都会说愿他在天堂安息。
Lots of friends in the social media, even though they probably are atheists, they always say may they rest in heaven when their relative died.
这是一句没有用的空话，因为人生来就是失去了天堂的福分。
This phrase is pretty useless because people are born without the blessing of heaven.
如果不是借着耶稣基督，没有人能够到天堂去。
Nobody will be in heaven without Jesus Christ.
人有再多的别的东西，也没有办法弥补没有神的同在这个问题。
And there is nothing you can have that can solve the problem of the absence with God's presence.
而人要解决这个问题，要与神和好，重新建立跟神的联系，唯一的办法就是依靠神所设立的中保，就是耶稣基督。
And to solve the problem and make peace with God, the only way to reestablish the relationship with God is through the mediator that God set it, which is Jesus Christ.
要与神和好，就必须要解决人的罪的问题。
If you want to make peace with God, then the problem of the sin must be solved.
而罪的工价就是死，把罪人丢到地狱里面呢，他就算得到了他应当得的报应，他的罪呢就算是结算过了。
And the wage of sin is death. So if you just threw a sinner into the hell and he got what he deserved, then his sin is settled.
如果要解决人的罪的问题，又不将人消灭掉的话呢，就必须用一个无罪的人来替代他承受这个罪的刑罚。
But if you want to solve the problem without perishing the human, then it's necessary to replace the sinner with an innocent person to bear the punishment of the sin.
但一个无罪人上哪里去找呢？他又怎么能够替代所有人的罪呢？
Where can you find an innocent person, and how can he bear the punishment for all the sins?
因此呢，道成肉身呢就成为必要，这个也就是神必须要成为一个人。
The answer is incarnation, and that's why it's necessary for God to become a human.
耶稣基督就是神成为了人。
Jesus Christ is God becoming human.
他是一个完全的人，他才有可能死，才能够以死来为我们赎罪。
He's completely human. That's why he can die and pay the wages of sins with his death.
他是一个完全无罪的人，他才有资格替别人来承受罪的刑罚。
He is also completely innocent. That's why he is qualified to bear the punishment for others.
他又是完全的神，他才足以拯救所有人的罪。
He is also at the same time complete God. That's why he can have the power to save everybody.
他替我们舍命，使得一切信他的人可以罪得赦免，可以与神和好。
He gave his life for us so that all who believe in him can be forgiven and make peace with God.
而因着与他相连接，我们也可以和他一同复活。
And through connecting with them, we can all be resurrected together with him.
而借着他，神与人同住的目的也实现了。
And through him, the purpose of God's presence with human is also fulfilled.
因此，以马内利这个名字既指明救恩的途径，就是这位耶稣基督，也显明救恩的目的，神要与人同在。
So the name Emmanuel not only indicates the way of salvation, that is Jesus Christ, but also reveals the purpose of the salvation, that is God will be with men.
所以当人看到这位由童女所生的耶稣的时候，就想起来这个正是神所应许的标记。
So when people see this virgin-born Jesus, they will remember that this is yet another sign from God.
这个标记呢，意味着旧约中神所应许的女人的后裔要胜过魔鬼，亚伯拉罕的后裔要使万国蒙福，大卫的子孙要做王直到永远，神要与人同在的这些应许全部是真的，全部都要应验。
And this sign is reminding people that all this prophecy you see from the Old Testament, including the seed of the woman will overcome the devil, the Abraham's descendants to bless the nations, and the David's son shall reign foreverAll of this prophets and promises are real, and they will all be fulfilled.
耶稣基督复活升天之后，赐下圣灵在我们的心中。
After Jesus Christ resurrected and risen into this heaven, He sent Holy Spirit to be with the Christian.
因此，神不是将来才与我们同在，而是现在就与我同在。
So it's not that God will be with us in the future; He is with us right now.
所以，请想一想看，神与我同在意味着什么？
So think about what does that mean that God is with us.
神与我同在意味着我不用害怕缺乏，因为神是富足的。
God with us means we don't need to be afraid of scarcity because God is abundant.
神与我同在意味着我不用害怕我的仇敌，因为神是强大的。
God with us means we don't need to fear of our enemies because God is powerful.
神与我同在意味着我不用害怕灾难，因为神掌管灾难。
And God with us means we don't need to fear.Disasters, because God controls disasters.
神与我同在呢，意味着我不用惧怕病痛，因为神的国里面没有病痛。
God with us means we don't need to be fearful for pains and sickness, because there is no pains and sickness in God's kingdom.
神与我同在呢，意味着我不用惧怕不确定性，因为神掌管明天。
And God with us means we don't need to be fearful to uncertainty, because God rules tomorrow.
神与我同在呢，意味着我不用再惧怕死亡，因为基督已经复活了，而且我必要与他一同复活。
And God with us means we don't need to be fearful to death anymore, because Jesus has resurrected, and we will be resurrected together with him.
没有任何事情值得惧怕和担忧，因为没有任何势力能够胜过神。
There is nothing to fear and worry about, because no power can overcome God.
耶利米书的九章二十三、二十四节，我给大家读。耶和华如此说：智慧人不要因他的智慧夸口，勇士不要因他的勇力夸口，财主不要因他的财物夸口，夸口的却因他有聪明，认识我是耶和华，又知道我喜悦在世上施行慈爱、公平和公义，以此夸口。这是耶和华说的。
In Jeremiah chapter 9 verses 23 to 24, thus says the Lord: Let not the wise man boast in his wisdom.Let not the mighty man boast in his might. Let not the rich man boast in his riches. But let him who boast in this, that he understands and knows me, that I am the Lord who practice steadfast love, justice, and righteousness in the earth. For in these things I delight, declares the Lord.
没有什么宝物能够宝贵超过以马内利的福分。
There is no treasure that is more valuable than Emmanuel's blessing.
没有什么损失能够大过失去以马内利的福分。
And there's no losses that's greater than the loss of losing the blessing of Emmanuel.
刚硬不信的亚哈斯王不明白这个。
King Ahaz is hardened in the heart and doesn't understand it.
世人也不明白这个。
The people in the world also doesn't understand it.
但我盼望你们能够明白。
But I hope that you will understand.
我刚信主的时候，带我信主的长老呢，就让我牢牢记住以马内利这个词。
When I first believed in Jesus Christ, the elder that led me to the faith asked me to remember this word, Emmanuel.
他告诉我，从今以后过一个以马内利的生活。
He told me that from now on, live a life of Emmanuel.
无论何时何地，都要记得以马内利，神与我同在。
No matter where you are, no matter when it is, remember Emmanuel, God is with us.
好，我们一起祷告。
Let's pray together.
亲爱的父神，我们感谢赞美你。
Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you and praise you.
感谢主你赐下你的独生爱子，我主耶稣基督。
We thank you for sending your beloved Son, Jesus Christ.
他成全了救恩，使你们三位一体的神可以永远与我们同在。
He fulfilled the salvation so that God can be with us forever.
帮助我们可以过一个以马内利的生活。
Help us so that we can live a life of Emmanuel.
每天都靠主你喜乐，靠主你得胜。
So that we can be dependent on you and have joy and have triumph from you.
与我们同行。
Be with us.
我们的感谢和祷告都是奉我主耶稣基督的圣。
Our prayers and praises is in the name of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Amen.